The station to listen to. Hit 95.9 FM. From the Canaan city of Calabar. To your best music, best talk radio. This is The Dialogue. With Agba Jalingo. On Hit 95.9 FM. Calabar.
Good evening to you listeners out there, and welcome to episode 359 of The Dialogue with Agba Jalingo, coming to you live from the studio of the premier audio broadcasting outfit in that ancient city of Calabar, the Hit 95.9 FM, where you get the best music and the best talk. Of course, we are going to be discussing our repressive cultures, a continuation from our conversation last week. My name is Jonathan Abang, and I am moderating this evening's dialogue in the absence of the host himself, Citizen Agba Jalingo. Like we told you last week, repressive cultures basically refer to practices, customs, norms, and traditions that subjugate a group of people by denying them their rights. Now, these practices have different consequences on the people, with some of them even fatal. In Cross River State, most of these practices are targeted at women and girls. These range from witch branding to money woman, exclusion from inheritance, non-inclusion in decision-making, among others. These practices, also all targeted at women and girls, have had different consequences over the years, including an impact on the population of women and girls. As the world gears up to celebrate this year's edition of the World Population Day on Tuesday, July the 11th, which the United Nations has as its theme, unleashing the power of gender equality, uplifting the voices of women and girls to unlock our world's infinite possibilities. And now, with the world focusing on uplifting the voices of women and girls who are targeted by the oppressive practices mentioned earlier, questions such as, how has this impacted on the female population, among others, beg for answers. Also, in what way do these practices affect the livelihoods of women and girls? How can women and girls' voices be lifted within the systems they find themselves in? What has been done so far? Are there any strategies yielding positive results? What limitations are there? Also, what is the most sustainable way to ensure the livelihoods, potentials, and lives of women and girls remain protected for a better society? These and more form the basis of this evening's The Dialogue with Agba Jalingo, with the topic, World Population Day, Oppressive Cultures, Populations and Sustainable Livelihoods for Women and Girls. And to do justice to this topic today, we have the State Coordinator of Child Protection Network, Comrade Kebe Ikpe. Good evening and welcome to the program. Okay, we also have this Cross River State Coordinator of We the People Center for Social Studies and Development, Comrade Okomobong Ekong. Good evening, Comrade, and welcome to the program.
Good evening, Jonathan. Hello, listeners.
Now, I will start with you, Comrade Okomobong. We are, the focus today is women and girls. So, unfortunately, we are two men and a lady discussing discussing this. I had that call just shortly before, and the question was, Jonathan, you are discussing women and girls, and why is it only one woman there? But nonetheless, we continue. That very listener, that very fan of the program, I just hope that we do justice. Most times we don't look at the composition of the people who are talking. We look at who is best suited to ensure we have not just an effective dialogue, but also that's whosoever is listening will take something from there, and of course there is a sustainable way going forward. Now, Comrade Okomobo, a whole lot has been said about oppressive cultures, repressive cultures, and what have you. In the state, we have quite a number of them. Last week, of course, on the program, we focused on the money wife issue. There is that issue of exclusion from inheritance in some parts of the state. There is that part where women are not even allowed to speak in the gatherings, in family meetings. There is that part where women are not allowed into village squares to, contributes to decisions and what have you. There is also the part where witch branding and all of that. When you hear these things, what first comes to your mind as a woman now?
Thank you for your question. And just to say that I hope a lot of women will be a bit free to call into the program today. So it's not just going to be Kemet talk and Kepe. Looking at all the issues, the cultural practices that women actually go through, first of all, we'll look at it from this perspective that some of the things that happen, these norms and traditions actually happen most of the times as a result of patriarchal nature of the society, where we find that the males actually dominate almost very many important aspects of the economy and all that. And in terms of strategically looking at it, even as we are speaking, looking at even the way the issues in terms of governance and politics, what the percentage of women that we have currently in the House of Assembly in Cotiva State.
We have only two.
So the whole thing...
We have only two out of 25.
And it depends on how we issues around this is not just... it has actually been there, and then they have actually they kept the women in some places and other. So it starts first from the socialization process. How we even socialize the men, how we socialize the women, the girls out, and it's very hard to unlearn what you learn. It takes a lot of conscious effort to unlearn what you learn during socialization process. So even when we are saying that, we have taken some steps forward and looking at the way things that we are taking some, like 10 steps backward in terms of going forward, because we know that these issues continue. Then if you look at the issue of the witchcraft branding and all the things going on, you see that this actually happened to the very vulnerable group, which are like the women and children and all that. And then looking at in terms of the economy, when you say her money is a small one, and then when you say his money, it looks something big and all that. So it goes a long way, even the way we socialize in terms of even the crop system in our communities. There are some communities that this particular crop is actually for men. Then who plants the crops, actually? Who plants those things? And so at the end of it, the women, the one that doesn't bring so much money to the house, actually. And so there's a lot of debate and concerns around this issue. So it's not something that just started. It's something that, and then we are still hoping that gradually, and then just to say that the issues around even widowhood rights, widowhood practices is still, even though with laws and all that, they still, these practices actually continue. So it has a lot of effect on the women and the girl child. And then if we even say, how much is in the house? When you now look at, let's prioritize who should go to school. Then if the money is not so much, and then you see that, let him go. And then you now look at different cultures. Whether I look at several things. So all of this has a lot of impact and implications on the girl child and the woman. So it is not something that started today, so efforts are still being on. And then if we have more males like yourself, Jonathan Ogbas, and the rest speaking about these issues, and then also sensitizing the women, because it's not just about having town hall meetings and talking to women. What do we do when we get back to our homes?
Okay.
What do we do in our homes? So,
Thank you. Now, here's the thing, though. With all these practices mentioned, there is that perception that women are more than men in existence. But, however, if you look at the 2006 census, the population of Cross River State was projected at just a little over 3 million, 2.9 something million, and almost 51%, actually 50.9% were males and 49.1% females. Now, when you look at the projection of an annual population growth of 2.2%, what you have right now is a population of nearly 4 million people, 3.78 million, actually. That's the projection as at 2022. You just see only a slight increase. So women are 49.2%, and the male still dominate at 50.8%. Do you think these harmful practices have anything to do with these figures, the population of women and girls?
Okay, looking at the population of women and girls, if these harmful practices have anything to do, to a large extent, definitely it may not be scientifically proven, but I am aware that a lot of women actually lose their lives as a result of being part, engaging in different harmful cultural practices on women. So definitely to a large extent, it can actually, if we have at least contributed to that. But in as much as we are looking at all of these issues, that's also a very sick 49.2%.
49.2%.
Good number. That's a big number in terms of the percentage of women to men. So definitely.
But there is that widespread perception. I'm sure if you turn around and ask people around you, say, between men and women, we need to see plenty pass. The answer you usually get is women. I mean, why do you think that is like that?
It means we may not have actually gotten our figures right, because that is left for Population Council to tell us. Because even if when you look at, let's not even go to population, let's look at the election statistics as at August. The total number of persons that actually registered according to INEC was, we had more women and young people and persons living with disability that came out to register as between July and August, as of last year, for instance. So I don't know where that statistic is. So it means that there would have been a little foul play, but that is the projection we had and the estimate we have. So
you think some of these figures are basically sexed up?
That will be corrected.
You are saying some of these figures are sexed up?
It still goes down to the issue that we are talking about. So there's a likelihood that we are even marginalized, and in terms of not counting the women well during the census, getting the right figures of the population of the women, the actual population of women. So, but since we may not have done our scientific, we've not done that, so that's the truth about the matter.
Okay, thank you very much, Comrade Okemogbo. I'm trying to reconnect with Comrade Kebe Igbe. He went off for a moment, so we're calling him back right now. And of course, we are discussing the world population. The focus is on oppressive cultures, population, and sustainable livelihoods for women and girls. So we have been joined now back by Comrade Kebe Igbe, the State Coordinator for the Child Protection Network. Welcome back, Kebe. Now,
thank you very much.
Okay, now let's look at when you were with, there was some conversation and all of that. And the question was around repressive cultures that we have. Do you think that has impacted on the population of women? We are looking at the 2006 census. We said there were more men than women in Cross River State, and the projection as of 2022 remains the same, albeit just by a slight figure, where you have men at 50.8% of the population in Cross River and women at 49.2%.
Yes, and the thing is that culture has affected women in a very, very serious way. So, I believe strongly that the women that we have, the level of development that we have among the women folk can be higher than what we currently have, if not for the culture that requires women to sit at the background and become second-class citizens and all of that. If you check properly, you will notice that women who are allowed to express themselves and activate their full potentials turn out to be the best anywhere in the world. I mean, I keep telling people that I know a certain group of women who were the brains behind a certain war, you know, somewhere around 2002, about the Iraq War. The brains behind the planning, the execution of that war were women. Of course, in our village today in Cross River State, you know that women don't go to war. Women are relegated to bearing children, cooking the food, cleaning the house, and any other thing that society has taught to be the lot of women. Despite the fact that women are more in population than men.
But the statistics are saying differently, that men are more in population than women.
I mean, that statistic is actually questionable because the National Population Commission census of 2006, I believe, that's the national, the official count of the country. If I am not mistaken, put the number of women at a higher percentage than men.
But in Cross River State, yeah, well, nationally, yes, but in Cross River State, we have a situation where the women were 49.1%, estimated to be 1,421,021, while the males were 50.9%, estimated to be 1,471,967. That's about 50,000 more men than women in Cross River State.
Okay. That's fine. It's not a problem. Now, if for any reason, men are more than women in Cross River State, it is still not an issue. I believe that everybody should be given the opportunity to develop and become what they can be. So if we now use culture, we use very divine activities to suppress women who have the potential to become governors, senators, ministers, and what have you. It is unfair. It is unfortunate, it is sad, and I think that in the best century, that should be discouraged. Development is one side. Yes.
You are the state coordinator of the Child Protection Network, and the girl child is there. Is there anything that has been done so far to tackle these repressive cultures that have impacted the livelihoods of women and girls?
Yes, when it comes to issues around women and girls at the child protection level, we are very, very vocal about it. We are very clear that the rights of women and girls in particular, who are immediate constituents, are not negotiable, and we cannot compromise them. And any time we hear that the rights of a girl or a girl is at risk of being abused, a girl is at risk of whatever problem, you know very well how we match up as like that to confront them.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me go back to Comrade Ukemeobong Ekong. This He has said, just what we had mentioned, I'm still getting a message here talking about the number. Now, this is, of course, the official position of the production team of Cross River Watch. The host is basically not counted in the conversation. The host, I'm just here to moderate. And we have a male and a female. I don't know. You identify as a female, right, Comrade Dukomebo?
Okay, so
Do you identify as a female, correct?
Yes, I am a female.
Okay, great. Kevin, identify as a male, so we have at least 50% from each of the two most popular genders here in the studio. So, my dear friend and my dear fan who keeps bugging my line saying it's the equation is not balanced. That there you have it. That's just our official position for now. Now back to the conversation, Ukemogo. Kevin was mentioning something. Yeah, Kevin was saying something before he went off again. But in all that has been said and done from these repressive cultures trying to tackle them, do you think we have been yielding any positive results?
Okay, thank you so much. I think to a large extent, for instance, the role of civil society organizations, as I said, is actually to complement government efforts. And a lot of efforts have actually been done by civil society organizations. And we are not doing this as just, we try as much as possible to work closely with the government agencies to see how they can continue what efforts that civil society have done over the years. One of the things that is important is education. Looking at our law, universal basic education is supposed to be free. And looking at it in Cross River State, it's in the books that still levies that people need to pay. And so if that happens, if parents and then if women, young girls are not given that basic education, then there's a problem. And that is actually, meanwhile, in the provisions of the law and all the things that we have, policies on education and all that, we have it there in the books, in our policies, but the problem is really implementation. Now, looking at all of this, for young people and young girls who are, for instance, some of the things that they are talking about, the issue of money rights and all that, if we talk about this issue, there's also a need for these young people, those ones who already have children, they will need livelihood opportunities. If the civil society organizations are training them on this, government should on the basic skills, then government should be able to actually give them something like a startup capital. Because I know that Girlstar Initiative under the Spotlight Project was training lots of young girls and women. And if there was if government said that, oh, this is done over the period, they should be able to say, okay, let me do this. So government should also be able to take up responsibility. And then beyond that too, there's need for us to look beyond where we find ourselves in terms of the traditions that we say, the ones that are not healthy, we should do away with it instead of saying our forefathers did this. If there are actually, our forefathers did this, and then we shouldn't see where we can, we don't need to continue any traditions that are not healthy, that is for women and girls.
All right. Thank you very much. I just, we have to open the phone lines now for our listeners and to contribute, while at the same time we try to reconnect with Akebe Ikpi, the state coordinator of the Child Protection Network. And the number to dial is 0700-959-44836. 0700-959-44836. Tell us what you think about the World Population Day and the fact that there are repressive cultures and how this impacts on women and girls. We are joined back by Kebe Ikpi. Now, Kebe Ikpi, we were talking about this. You were saying something about the activities of CPN. Will you say these have yielded results over the years?
Yes, thank you very much. I was sharing some thoughts when the line went up. So I mentioned that some of our neighbors in the CPN network implemented programs in several local governments that have empowered girls to build skills and become self-sustaining. Like I said, it is not enough what has been done, because there are much more people in need of these skills and empowerment. Okay? So, if government will live up to its task of ensuring that the ministry is responsible for ensuring that the rights of girls are protected.
So just hold that thought a moment. We have a caller on the line. Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening. Oh, fortunately, we lost that there. Go ahead with your conversation, comrade.
Yes, it is my humble appeal that the current governor will review and take seriously the leadership of the Ministry of Social Welfare, depending on what he's going to call it. Because it is very, very important that the government complement what the development partners are doing. We cannot leave the development of women and girls and the protection of their rights just to the development partners alone. Government should be a best responder, in my view. And whatever we do should be comprehensive. Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Zed. Of course, the phone lines are still open. 0700-959-44836. 0700-959-44836. Tell us what you think about repressive cultures, the population of, and sustainable livelihoods of women and girls in Cross River State. Both of you have spoken about, civic space actors. What about community-based organizations, faith-based organizations? Does religion have something to do with some of these our cultures and practices as well? I'll start with you, Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Is that for me or for Kevin?
For you first, then Kevin.
Okay. Now, everybody is actually involved. Everybody is involved in this matter, whether it's faith-based organizations, community-based organizations, whatever name they are called, they are all involved in this matter. And so far, I'm aware that some of these organizations have little funding and are doing their best based on the limit of the funds that is available to them. Government is the only person who has enormous resources to do so much if they want to do. Take time. So, we cannot, for any reason, delegate the responsibility of government to people who should be complementing government efforts. I insist, government should be first responder. Development partners should really complement the effort of government, not the other way around.
Okay, Ukamaba, before you add to that, there is that argument you had made mention of behavioral, change and pattern over the years. Do you think religion can play some role to ensuring, much more sustainable way to ensure the livelihoods, potentials, and lives of women and girls remain protected for a better society?
Okay, you are talking about the role that religious leaders...
not just religious leaders, religion, as a matter of fact, plays in all of this. What role does it play?
Yes, to a very large extent. Religion has a lot of roles to play in all the issues that we are discussing.
because sometimes we make it look, oh, a woman should be submissive and all that. And so sometimes the ones that our equality is played down on, the one that the Bible talks about, the man and woman being equal in the sight of God, is played down on. But the one around submission is amplified. And then if you dare to ask a few questions, and the, most of the time, even the issue for young girls who are, young ladies who are not married, there's a lot of social stigma. You don't say some things even within the family circle. And then I know that it's still an aspect of its culture, and then even in terms of even in the church too, that when you want to basically give, donate money, they won't find out if you are married or not. But then critical decisions are supposed to be taken. The married ones will not say some things and all that. So it goes a long way. So I believe that if we look at the religion, used to be something very good these days. Most of the good schools we have in our communities, we actually, the work of, it was actually the effort of some religious institutions. So I think if the religious institutions go back to their role, if they are preaching peace, they should mainstream economic empowerment with the tithe and offering, and see how to equip women with relevant information and skills that will help them in this dispensation. Because it is very important that a woman have money, is economically, physically matured, as in empowered, and all that. While speaking about the word, find a way. Even doctors in the Bible have a way of showing clothes. So if the churches have a way, or even the mosque have a way, or any institution of religion have a way of encouraging women, not just talking, but mainstreaming it. I know some religious institutions that have in their little program, like the Girls Guide, have a way of mainstreaming few things, and saying, okay, come and learn this. But sometimes those skills are not entirely very sustainable, because it's more like a two-hour thing. So if we are intentional about livelihood opportunity for women, we will program it in religious activities that we are deliberate about this, and we go a long way to say, okay, come and learn this, institute it in the religious activity, to go a long way to the women and girls.
Thank you, Del Kebe. Kebe, just before we wrap up, in your opinion, what is the best way for women and girls to speak out, for their voices to be uplifted within a system that is repressive?
Okay, thank you very much. I think that there is no other way to speak out than for us to make the environment convenient and comfortable for women to speak. Beyond creating a convenient environment, we also need to deliberately give opportunities to women. This will encourage them and empower them also to speak out. We must end all cultural practices and discrimination, all forms of discrimination that makes or places the woman or the girl child in a place of disadvantage. It does not do the society any good if only the males are prospering and making progress. I think that the world will be a better place if men and women, boys and girls, are growing and progressing all at once, together. Yes, it is true that we have different levels of giftings and all of that, I'm aware of that, but people can grow at their pace. What you have to be the reality of ground is that there's a deliberate attempt to stop them from growing or moving forward. That's which are limitations to be removed. Cultures that are important to that ethic and natural justice should be outrightly condemned and criminalized. So it's a call on behalf of assemblies to review laws that are already on ground or make new ones that clearly criminalizes cultures that limit others to citizens. Yes, it puts limits on how far women can go. I think it is. A lot will be achieved.
All right. Thank you very much, KBAP State Coordinator, Child Protection Network. Thank you, Okemebong Ekong, State Coordinator, We the People, Center for Social Studies and Development. Thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you.
And, of course, we wish all women and girls out there a very good celebration on World Population Day, because this year's celebration is all about them. That's how we wrap things up on the program. We sincerely apologize to our friends out there who tried to call in. They just kept beeping and going back off as it were, and that's the reason why we couldn't take your calls. But the conversation continues on social media, on Facebook, The Dialogue with Agba Jalingo. Tweet to us at The Dialogue CRS, and on Instagram, The Dialogue CRS. To the content providers, Jan Concept, media partners, CrossriverWatch.com and Hit 95.9 FM. The production team led by Charles Kalu, assisted by Jeremiah Achibong, not forgetting Patrick Obia and Godwin Otan. We say bless you. And DJ Tony, yes, of course, here in the studio. Bless you too. And a special shout out to those celebrating their birthdays today, Nancy Bassi, and those whose birthdays are coming up around the week. Of course, we have Ejafu, Onyekachi, Veronica, and of course the mama of the house, Violet Apil Agba of F. Babaisa Esquire. We wish you the very best, of course, going forward, and celebrations for all friends of the Dialogue with Agba Jalingo. On the program, we continue to demand for the release of Peter Tex, the Godfather Ethem, kidnapped on January 11, 2019. We do not accept what law enforcement officials say they can confirm if he is dead or alive. We also urge them to investigate the disappearance of Abubakar Dadiyata Idris. And of course, what happened to Mubarak Bala is unfortunate, but we wish him well at the Court of Appeal. Don't let the devil steal your joy, because no matter what the devil smoke, it can never become the Most High. The Most High is always on the throne. Till next Sunday, when we come your way again, we'll leave no stone unturned and no turn on stone to ensure the crossover conversation bears positive fruit. Till next Sunday, when I come your way, I have been Jonathan Abang, and it's bye for now.
And best talk. Hit 95.9 FM, Calabar.